What I want to speak on this morning is about walking through the valley. See, I believe that each and every one of us is made to be on the mountaintops. And it's a prophetic picture, obviously. I'm not talking about hiking, but I am talking about being in God and knowing that God has something for you. And feeling like there's some place in God that you want to be, whether it's just simply, God, I want to live in that freedom of relationship with you, where I walk with you day by day. Or whether it's that feeling on the inside, God, before I leave this planet, there's something of a legacy that I want to leave here. I believe the moment that we are born again, we have that hunger for God and that hunger to reveal God. And many times there are prophetic words that are spoken over our lives, and people will say prophetically things, and it's like they see the peaks of the mountains. But between each peak is a valley. And if we want to get to the next mountain, oh, we wish we could just hang glide there. Just leapfrog over the valley. Just God, pick me up from here and just plop me there. But no. I've discovered in my walk, and I suspect you've found in yours, that to get to the next mountaintop, I have to walk the valley. So this morning I want to talk about walking through the valley, because I believe God wants us to get to the other side. And that's a good place to nod or say amen or something. Good. I am preaching to the light group this morning. So what I want to do is I want to look at two passages of scripture this morning. The first passage of scripture is about walking through the valley and getting to the other side. The second passage of scripture is about those who don't make it through the valley. And God's answer for those that get stuck in the valley. Psalm 84, verse 5 to 7. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Zion is Mount Zion. It speaks of the presence of God. It speaks of everything in God that we are destined to be, to lay hold of. And here it's saying that we are destined to appear before God in Zion, and we can go, yes. The only trouble is we have to walk there. Now, I don't know about you, but I've found that throughout the Word, that there are times that God has had to tell me I'm blessed. Because if He didn't tell me, I wouldn't know it. Blessed are you when they revile you and speak all manner of evil against you. It's like if God didn't tell me I was blessed, I would not know. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. When I'm hungering and thirsting after God, I have to have Him tell me that I'm blessed, because I don't feel blessed. Anybody else say, yeah, that's me too. God says I'm blessed when I'm going through trials and tribulations and I don't feel like it, but He says I am. See, Papa sees from a different perspective. And he starts by saying, blessed is the man that's on this journey. He's on the journey through the valley. And I want you to notice that it says that they pass through. Verse 6, they pass through. They don't camp there. They don't stay there. And friends, this is not a place you want to stay. Because when we read Valley of Baca, it's just a name. But when you understand the original meaning and the original language, you know that it means valley of weeping. God says you're blessed in the midst of that valley. And some of you here this morning need to know that you're blessed because you don't recognize it. You just know I'm in the midst of the valley and I'm not sure where I'm going, but this ain't fun. So let's have a look at what it means to pass through this valley. The first thing it says in verse 5 is that blessed is the man whose strength is in you. First thing that you find out about the valley is that it's a place where your strength is not enough. It's a place where we have to trade what we can do for what God can do. And folks, if we don't learn that in the valley, we won't be able to walk the mountains. God has the mountains for us, but something has to happen in the midst of the valley so that we have the strength that we can walk on the mountaintops. Says the end of verse 5, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Yeah, it said of Jesus that he set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. And this is the second thing that happens in the valley. You start to find that there's something on the inside of you that says, I want more. I want more than the green pastures of a valley. I see a mountain and I want it. There's something in me that says, my comfortable, casual life is not good enough. God, I want more. That's the cry that starts to come up in the valley. See, all of us, I know, would come up with our own version of what a good, comfortable life would look like. Ray and I, when we first got married, we spoke about, oh, it would be lovely to live in Cromwell, middle of central Otago, beautiful landscape, a lovely old stone house, well heated, of course. And I'd just be a housewife, I'd cook, I'd bake, I'd do all the normal things. But like you, I found out that normal is not enough. So some people that are saying amen this morning. It's not enough. Because there's something on the inside. Your heart is set on a pilgrimage. Your heart is saying, God, I want something more than this. And if that's where you're at this morning, if you feel like you're in the midst of a valley and you're saying, God, there must be more to life than getting up and going to work and coming home and eating food and going to bed and getting up and going to work and coming home and doing the washing and doing this. God, what's it here for? If that's you this morning, God's saying you're blessed. You're recognizing that there's something on the inside of you that's saying, God, where are you? Who are you and who am I? And what am I here for? It's time to keep walking through the valley. It's time to get to the other side. Verse 6, as they passed through the valley of Baca, the place of weeping. You know, tragedy does not come from God. And I'm not saying that you have to have tragedy in your life to lay hold of the things of God. Don't let the word be twisted to say something it's not saying. Many times the weeping is just the crying on the inside for God, what's my life for? God, you spoke some things into my heart when I was yay high, and I haven't seen them yet. Sometimes the deepest cries in our heart are the ones that cannot be expressed in words. They're a cry for something in God. But notice what happens here. They pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a spring. Oh, how we would long for it to say, they find a spring. They find running water. They find an easy place. No, it says, they make it a spring. A spring is a place in the ground where the underground rivers come to the surface. We have here in Auckland, Western, springs. There's a trickle of a little river that goes in there. But the real water that is there at Western Springs does not come from the surface. It comes from underground. See, there are rivers that are underground that do not go dry. As a kid on the farm in central Otago, I knew what it was for us to go through droughts where every bit of surface water dried up. We had creeks on our property that the stock would drink from. They would dry. No water. And where we would draw water from was from the underground streams, because they don't run dry. And it's in the midst of the valley that we start to tap into something that is on the inside. See, it's very easy to come to church and go, oh, I'm blessed, love you, Jesus. But when everything's going wrong, that's when we have to start pulling on something on the inside that says, God, you are God. You are good. It doesn't matter what I see with my eyes. It doesn't matter what I feel in my emotions. You are God and you will take me through. And that's when we start to draw water from deep wells. See, this word spring can also be translated wells. If you're in the midst of a valley, dig a well. If you're in the midst of a valley, get into the presence of God. Know what it is to dig that well deep. Because it's as we dig that well in God that we start to gain that strength and we start to gain that ability on the inside to say, I don't care what's happening around me. I know that I know that I know. And it's that strength that takes us from the valley to the heights. Why do we go through valleys? So that we start to tap into what is on the inside. But not only that, notice what it says, end of verse 6. the rain also covers it with pools. What started as a well, what started as tapping into the underground, the hidden water, now we start to have the rain come down. Now we start to have pools of water. The very thing that we are crying out to God for. First of all, is birthed within us and then around us. See, the rain always speaks of the Holy Spirit. And it's saying here that as we start to make that well in the midst of the valley, as we start to draw from that deep water, what happens is the Holy Spirit's anointing starts to fall. See, what have you been through? Where you have gained victory, you now have a pull to water others. You now carry water that you can release to others. Jesus said about a salvation that is a well on the inside, but then he spoke of the Holy Spirit and he said that there'll be rivers of living water that flow out of us. See, it's one thing for us to drink from those underground streams. It's one thing for us to have that private time in God and that strength in God. But there is an anointing that I believe that we are meant to carry. And once we know what it is to dig the wells, once we know what it is to find God in the midst of the valley, that's when the rain comes. That's when the anointing comes. That's when you see people gain something in God that they can impart. You've been crying out for anointing? You want to see people healed? You want to see souls saved? You got a heart for something? God's going to put you right in the midst of a valley. Say, start digging and dig deep. And as you dig deep, I'll send the rain. Verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Bible also says that we go from glory to glory. We usually like quoting that one better. Because glory comes simply from beholding him. And we change from glory to glory. That one's easy. Going from strength to strength, that one's not as easy. I don't think I've ever had anybody come up to me and say, "Ah, oh, I'm going from strength to strength." I've had people say, "Oh, I'm being changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Life's wonderful." But I believe it's that strength that God wants us to have to carry the anointing that he wants to place on us. We so easily ask God for things that we're not yet able to carry. And God wants to release them to us. But we have to have the ability, that strength, to carry what God wants to release. The valley is a place that God takes us through so that we can be on the mountains. I'm glad you said amen there. Okay, that's interesting. If you can go to the second slide, yeah. Bill Johnson says this, what you need will come to you. Papa's a good God. But what you want, you'll have to go after. What is it that you want in God? You'll have to go after it. If you want wisdom, if you want to know what it is to be able to sit with others and impart the wisdom of God, if you want that, you're going to have to go after it. These are the people that make it through the valley. And I believe God wants us to make it through, to set our heart on a pilgrimage and to say, I'm going to make it through to the other side. How? Start digging the well. Start spending that time in God. The valley is not to destroy you, it's to qualify you. It's to prepare you for the mountaintop that God has for you. In the midst of the valley, don't lose sight of the mountain. And I think this is the problem for some of us, that we lose sight of the mountain. Habakkuk 2 says, though the vision tarries, wait for it. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on the fact that God has called you to something. Start to cry out to Him for it. Start to ask, start to push in, start to go deeper, that you might go higher. Well, what about those that don't make it through the valley? I said we'd look at two lots. What about those who don't make it to the other side? We're going to have a look at another passage of Scripture and we're going to look at God's answer. Ezekiel 37, 1 and 2. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. These guys didn't make it out of the valley. See, we're meant to pass through the valley, not die in the midst of the valley. So why didn't these guys make it out? Well, it tells us down in verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. This is why these guys did not make it out of the valley. Crucial thing, they indeed say. What you say in the midst of the valley will determine whether you go through the valley or stay in the middle of it. Now, these guys speak of three things. Let's quickly have a look at them. First one, dry. That word means to be ashamed, confused, or disappointed. Anybody been there? Ashamed has to do with guilt and condemnation. One of the first things that will get you stuck in the midst of the valley is guilt and condemnation and feeling ashamed and feeling like you're no good and your prayer life drops to zero. If you're in the midst of the valley, you have not done anything wrong. It's part of the journey that you are on. Don't let guilt cause you to dry up. Keep your relationship with the Lord. Confused. Oh, most of us get so confused in the midst of the valley. Those unanswered questions, the mystery, the not knowing what the heck is going on. Why am I here? Why is this happening? Having to deal with something I didn't think I'd have to deal with. And that taps into that third area, disappointment. And that can be such a big one for us. We thought it was going to be easy. We said, God, I'm going to serve you all of my days. And we thought God would say, that's wonderful, and put this path of rose petals out before us. And we start walking and we find that it has thorns still there. It's like, dear God, can't you have taken out the thorns first? Anybody been there? Why do roses have thorns? Don't let disappointment take you out. Don't let the unanswered questions, the confusion, the uncertainty of what is happening cause you to back off from God and to dry up and not come out the other side. It's just part of being in the valley. Valleys are often filled with mist. They look great when you're on the mountain and you look down. You just see this cloud of mist filling the valley. But when you live in the midst of that mist and you don't know where you're going or you don't know why you're there, that's where you have to come back, and that's where you have to draw from that deep well on the inside that says, my circumstances may not say that my God is good. But my God is always good, and he will turn whatever I am going through for my benefit. Let's look at the next thing. They say my hope is lost. That word in the originally, it's literally a cord as an attachment. Isn't that interesting? Hope is a cord that attaches you to the Lord. You let go of hope. You let go of that ability to feel connected. See, hold on to your hope. It's that expectancy. And the word lost means to wander away. Hope doesn't go because we think, oh, sick of hoping. No, it just wanders off. We look round and it's like, where is it? Well, it just wandered. Hold on to your hope when you're in the midst of the valley. Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, that says this a couple of times. Wherever it is on my notes. Oh, there it is. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Anyone been there? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. When your soul is screaming and gone AWOL, hope in God, keep that attachment and say, I'm going through. I'm not staying here. I'm going through. If you don't like where you're at, don't camp. Keep moving. Last area. And we ourselves are cut off. That means to cut down or off, figuratively to destroy, divide, exclude. When you're going through the valley, it's so easy to feel like, I don't belong. I don't fit in. They don't care. Nobody else understands. It's part of the battle of being in the midst of the valley, because the devil wants to isolate you so he can destroy you. And this is what happened with these guys. They said, we are cut off. God's given up on us. Too late. Too hard. All over. God does not want us to die in the midst of the valley. That would have been another good place to say amen. I feel like doing a Bill Johnson and going, amen. I have good news for you. Yeah, I know, it's been a little bit of a heavy one this morning, hasn't it? But God has good news for us, because he wants us to get to the heights. He wants us to pass through the valley and go to the heights that we are called to walk in. And maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you're the dry bones in the midst of the valley. Or maybe you're thinking, nah, I'm fine, I'm not in the midst of the valley. But you know somebody who is. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's somebody who you love, who started walking through a valley and hasn't come out the other side. And you see them drying up. So what was God's answer when we're in the midst of the valley? Verse 1 and 2 of Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Sometimes we feel like we just have to ignore the obvious. But you know, God doesn't. He put Ezekiel right in the midst of it. He says, walk around it. Have a good look at it. Sometimes as faith people, we think, oh, I can't say there's a problem. If there's a problem, there is a problem. But the wonderful news is that God is a God of restoration. And when God looks at a valley of dry bones, he already has an answer. When God looks at your situation, he already knows how to get you from where you are now to the destiny he has declared over your life. Amen, Pam. So let's keep reading. Verse 3. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Is there hope for your situation? Will you really fulfill that dream that's in your heart? That wayward kid, will they really get on track with God? Will that bondage really be broken? Will there be restoration in that situation? Can these bones live? So I answered, "Oh Lord God, you know." When we look at that, we can think, well, that's a bit of a cop out. But you know, that was the best answer. Oh Lord God, you know. So God knows the answer to your situation. And all we have to do is ask. One of the smartest things we can do is to ask God about what He says about our situation. So often we get everybody else's opinion. And I can tell you, people are usually quick to give you an opinion about where you're at and what you're doing and what you should do. My recommendation is to go to God and say, God, you know, what do you say about this situation? In Acts 9, we have Peter. And he is called for by this group of believers. And they have a woman there called Dorcas or Tabitha, either one of those names. She had the two names. She's dead. They call Peter. They say, this was a wonderful woman. She did this and she did that, and what a wonderful woman. And we're all sad because she's dead. You know what Peter did? He said, get out. I'm sure he said it very nicely. Please go outside. He sent them all out. He closed the door and he knelt down and he prayed. Why? Because he needed to find out, what does God say? And how many of us just listen to what everybody else says and we don't close the door on the other voices and we don't get along with God and say, God, what do you say? What do you say for my situation? What do you say about my son? What do you say about my condition? What do you say about that doctor's report? But Peter, because he knelt down and prayed, he simply turned and he said, Tabitha, arise. She got up. Just like that, got up, got out of bed. They walked out and I'm sure they had a party. There wasn't contending, there wasn't binding and loosing, there wasn't anything. There was simply a man who took the time to say, God, what do you say? Because if I know what you say, I know how to deal with my situation. If I know what you say, there's hope. Find out what God says. Put the other voices out. There's plenty of other voices. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing. Folks, we've got to hear. If you want faith for your situation, you need to hear. And hearing by the word of God. God talks. And no religion will tell you he's mute. Or it will tell you that what he has said is all that he will say. Just letting that sink in for some of you. Because some of you have lived under the lie that God has stopped talking. Faith comes by hearing what God is saying to you now, in your situation, in your need. Find out what he's saying. Then what? Good question. Back to Ezekiel, verse 4. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy. If you're going to prophesy, you're going to have to know what is it that God says. What does he say about your situation? What does he say about your son? What does he say about that bondage? What does he say about your destiny? When we say what God says, we start to come out the valley. Prophesy. Oh, someone gave me an amen. Drop down to verse 7 and 8. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Words create worlds. God's word created everything that there is, both what we can see and the unseen. His word created the galaxies, which are still expanding. You take his words and put them in your mouth. It's called prophesy. Wherever you're at, prophesy. Take God's word, God's eternal word that moves mountains, and prophesy into your situation. And this is what Ezekiel did. He prophesied, and those dry bones came together and they rose up. But notice that they had bodies standing up, but there was no breath in them. And I think some of us are at this place. We've been declaring what God has said. We've been faithful to say, God, you said this. And we've taken the word and we've declared it over our life. We've declared it over our kids. We've declared it over our situation again and again. And where we're at right now is we have got bodies, but there's no breath in them. Don't stop. Let's look at the next verse. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Don't stop to the anointings there. Don't stop till the Spirit of God has said, yes, I'm there in the midst and there's life flowing. Having a body put back together is one thing. Having a body that can stand and breathe and walk is quite another. And I believe some of you this morning need to be encouraged because you've prophesied and you've spoken into your situation. And you've seen things come together. And I believe that it's time for you to prophesy to the breath. What does that mean? It means start praying for the presence of God. Start praying for the power of God in that situation. Don't just settle for a dead body. Prophesy to the breath. See, let me give you an example. And I'm going to close with this because our time has gone. Before I do, let me say this. I believe that one of the things that the Lord is saying to us individually and to us corporately is that we need to prophesy to where we're at and declare where we're going. Now, the example I have for you. Years ago, in fact, we've had it happen a couple of times, where people have come in and they have spoken prophetically over this church, what this church is to be, what this church is to accomplish. One thing I'm going to pick out is that it is a house of healing. Okay? Now, we have had people in our midst who have had major health challenges. What does that mean? You can look at that and say, well, I guess the prophet got it wrong. You can ignore it. Say, oh, well, I guess if it's going to happen, it's going to have to be God and it'll be one day off in the, maybe hopefully before we all go to heaven. Or you can say, we are in the midst of a valley. And what has been spoken over us is not what we are seeing in our midst. So that must mean that there is a call to rise up that we might lay hold of what we are called to. When you are called to one thing and you see the opposite, don't back off. That is a sure indication that your prophetic destiny is ahead. And I believe what God wants us to do is to raise up prayer warriors who will prophesy not just over their own lives and over their own family, but also over this church, over this nation. I believe God wants us to lay hold of our destiny as individuals and corporately. Corporately, we have a destiny. If we want to see it, if we don't just want to wander through the valley, but we want to get to the heights, we're going to need people who will prophesy. And as they prophesy, to dig those wells. And as they dig those wells, the anointing will come, the pools of refreshing will come, and we will see the answers that God wants us to have. Can you say amen with me this morning? I'm going to close the meeting now. But I'm going to encourage ones of you to just stay in your seat and start talking to the Lord. Lord, what do I need to start prophesying over my life, over my family? Lord, are you calling me to be one who will prophesy into this church? Ask. Ask the Lord. And if you feel a yes to the latter one, come and see me or email me. Let's pray. Papa, I thank you that you have the high places for us. Lord, we're meant to be people who know what it is to walk on the high places. But Papa, I pray first of all that you'll help us to know how to walk through valleys, how to dig wells, to see pools, and to prophesy what you say, that we might walk through the valley and that we might get to the heights. I thank you for it. Continue to speak to hearts, Lord, even as we close, regarding what you say. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you want to slip out and have a cup of tea, that's fine. If you want to just stay in your seat, I believe there's an anointing here to just seat the Lord. If you want to do that, that's awesome.